This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, Georgie, check for Dadsy. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery free and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Leicester City have a penalty kick in the 6th minute of injury time. Injury time.
Knockout takes. Almunia saves. Knockout follows in. Almunia saves again.
And now Watford are on the counter-attack.
Forestieri.
Oh, I don't believe this.
Here's Hawk. Deeney.
I do not believe what I've just seen. Troy Deeney has scored from a Leicester penalty that was saved by Almunia.
Do not scratch your eyes.
What do we think, Ryan Andrews, who's had just his debut season? And I think, first of all, what are our thoughts on his debut season? Bearing in mind it was his debut season, but I think you're quite right. We've talked about lack of pace, and that boy does not lack pace, and he does not lack penetration. Potentially, the quality of the crosses could improve, but could we see that as a switch? What do we think is going to be his long-term, or could be his long-term position, and what's our thoughts on him in terms of report for a first season? Let's turn to Mr. Parslow and see what his thoughts have been with regards to Mr. Andrews Jr., of course.
Oh, God, I'm probably going to upset everybody here. Andrews, and it's his first season, so you have to give him that thing of youth. But I've got huge worries about him in a number of areas. So going forward, I can see the potential. I don't see him as a fullback. And in a four, I'm really worried, because the only thing that's getting him out is his pace at times. Yeah. But his positioning is awful. If Richie is a played forward, I've always played when I was playing all the time. And he's just getting ripped apart. The amount of times the ball's just played inside him all the time. And I appreciate he's been playing in that five. So I think they do have to develop him. I think he has got that potential going forward. But I think his touch isn't right first time. He's got to learn that trick of running at pace but then slowing down. Because wasn't it Traore at Wolves who got taught just to slow down? You've got so much pace, you do not need to keep going and then start trying to get your crosses in. So I think he's got potential, but he's someone who needs a lot of just refinement on coaching, I think. Yeah, can he play as a winger? Yeah, maybe, but I don't know if he's got enough skill set in him in that. So, yeah, see, he's a player I like, and I don't think we have to see what happens with him. But for me, it was a bit of a mixed season with him. Love watching him, love the fact he's young and that, but I can see all the flaws that have to be, and there's quite a lot of work to be done on him, I think, personally.
Fair enough. What, anybody else got a thought on that? Anybody else got a thought on Ryan? And that's fine. That's not upsetting anybody. Far away.
I think there is a player there. John's comment's absolutely right. I think it's quite a common one. When you get a player with a lot of pace, that masks a lot of their issues. I remember sitting next to a friend watching Theo Walcott play, who at the time was being lauded, and he said, "His crap, his first touch is a 20-yard pass, but his pace recovers it."
Yeah.
So just like Rajovic, in an inverted way, that he doesn't have the pace and he's coaching, I'd be looking to see how much we develop or we can develop Andrews in a pre-season, and not just in terms of his own play, but I think patterns of play that they get coached into and learning how to move the opposition around, but as a unit. And I don't think we've done that. We haven't had the ability to do it because of the constant churning in managers. But I think Andrews would benefit from understanding what our structure is and how he should be playing and getting that drilled into him, that discipline about movement and knowing the players to his left and in front of him. Because I think fullback, they're easily exposed as the weakness of the player that's in front of them. I think if you look, he's played I'd say his performance is very dependent upon who's in front of him and how much protection or coaching they've given him. I think he tends to play better when he's on the side of the manager rather than on the opposite side of the pitch. So just I'd be looking for that to become an autonomous and muscle memory type activity rather than a type of Sabutio type fullback, which I think he's probably at the moment.
Wonderful stuff. I remember I was doing my full badge in the about 94, something like that. And if you remember, England lost 1-0 to Italy. Zola got the goal. And we were all in for the kind of classwork stuff and talking about the game. And I just went, well, Sol Campbell is a fucking nightmare. And everyone went, what are you talking about? He's playing for Tottenham at the time. He's sensational. He's this, he's powerful, he's quick, he's this. I mean, yeah, but his positionally, he's dreadful. And so, of course, I've got loads of people because there were a number of spuds on the course. And then the person running the course came in and went, no, I completely agree. He is absolutely atrocious. And he comments that when he moved to Arsenal, that Tony Adams got hold of him and went, no, don't be there. And then having to make the recovery run, your positional sensibility will allow you to snuff that out before it even occurs. And he improved exponentially. And his game calmed down. It was less requiring to be athletic to get him out of jail all the time. So maybe it might be an area that kind of John's pointed out there that he just, you know, needs to develop. And I'm sure the coaching staff at the club will have had a look at everybody and thought about what they need to do. So no, it's by no means a problem to identify in a strong player an element of weakness that he has to work on, because he does have to work on his weaknesses as well as his strengths. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Peter, isn't that the point I think we're hoping now with Cleverley and maybe in little we saw over the last 9 games or whatever, that we need a coach who can actually develop players and make them better than they are, number one. And then, as Neil was saying, the others are saying that, and then it's those patterns of play where they're playing in track. The problem with Barry and Rovich at times is, or Dennison, and then there's so much switching, changing. Nobody knows really what the pattern of play is. When we had the young lad playing the other week, and when Greaves was playing and Asprilla was going inside and he was overlapping, he didn't feed him, right? Whether he didn't want to or just didn't realise he was going to be doing that because he hasn't seen it all the time from anybody else. And I've just got to hope that Tom turns into that kind of development coach who takes those players. Because if we can get everybody playing 10% more, right, you that's a big shift before we bring anybody in. If we can just get that extra. And that's what I said about Rovich earlier. I saw snippets of things starting to happen. And just the way he was closing down was slightly different to what he was doing before. So I appreciate it. But you're right, Greg. He can't close down. But a couple of games I saw, actually, he's doing it in a more staged way. So he's starting to chase down a little bit different to who he was before. He wasn't so much headless chicken. It was a bit more controlled. So I think some of that's been going on. And that's really what I hope happens over the summer.
I love it. I love any compliment, that involves the words, not so headless chicken. That's a good compliment. I like it. No, I think you're right. I don't know if you noticed, but after the end of the, I think it was before the Middlesbrough game, when they announced that Jimmy Gilligan wasn't going to be travelling to Middlesbrough, they announced the roles for his other two staff, who are Armin Kavaja and Damon Lathrop, who was obviously formerly the ladies manager. Now, Damon is going to be the assistant manager, and he talked about his match day. Armin Kavaja is head development coach, and he stressed his academy work and his propensity to work one-on-one with players. So I think exactly what you've said, I think, is bearing in mind these guys are coming from an academy background where actually sitting and improving a player is a solution. It's not just I need to go to the market. Actually getting whoever you've got in and making them better. They may not be as good as you want them to be. They may not be as good as the player that you would like to ideally be able to afford, but they're certainly better than the solution that you can't afford by taking and trying to work with the ones that you have done. So I think that point is absolutely correct. Absolutely correct.
Just sliding back to Ryan Andrews.
Yeah.
I think we've been a little bit disingenuous judging him. This is a boy. This is a boy who's probably played too many games that he shouldn't have had to, because we should have had more right backs in that squad. I think there's a lot more development in him. And I personally think as you pointed out, he might play further up the pitch. I'm told the boy Eames is the better defensive right back of the two. And you could potentially see Eames playing behind Andrews. That could potentially happen, because I'm told he is a very good player, this boy.
No, good stuff. And I don't think anybody's going to have been unimpressed with a debut season. But I think especially in this, when we're asking people, you guys, we're asking you to be have a critical eye and see what can be done and improved. I agree with both kind of standing up for it, because I think he's been outstanding. I think he was, for me, I think he was very unlucky not to win Young Player of the Season, personally. Just in terms
travesty.
Of yeah, but that's for me, and just for individuals. Others will look at what Yasser did at Norwich and Rotherham and go, those goals, those moments. But we've had a whole host of moments, players like the Yasser, like Yasser Asprilla, like Ismail Assar, those people who can just come up and do those. They'll just take the money shot and that's it, and then they go missing and in and out of games, as we mentioned. I don't think we've seen anything of young Andrews where he's hid. Not at any point. He's also had to deal with seemingly a manager going off of him for whatever reason.
If I can come in, I a little bit agree with what Greg just said. I think he's had a magnificent season for someone in his debut season. He's played far too many minutes. I agree. I don't necessarily see his future as a right back. I see him going forward. I think he's got a bit of his dad's finishing ability as well, because I think he scored two or three goals this season. And when he gets up there, he's not afraid to have a go. He needs nurturing and he needs some help. But I think he's had an excellent debut season. And I thought it was a travesty he didn't get the Young Player this season. I get that, to be honest. And but for that nonsense that happened with Ishmael, and it did happen, everyone will say, something happened there big time, and it cost him some confidence and he's needed rebuilding. I think he will flourish next season. I really do.
Imagine if we could get Ekechi Anya to spend some time with him and unlock that pace.
Absolutely.
And get him to play the Anya way where, you know, when he was on fire, it didn't matter if he did a 20-yard first touch because he'd still go and get the ball.
Agreed.
Imagine if we could spend some time and learn that. Oh my, you've got a player on your hands there, haven't you?
We have.
I think he's a player. I think he's one for the future, definitely.
Good.
Totally.
Fingers crossed. Let's see where things take us. Obviously, if we look across to the other side, the other fullback issue, that's less healed. We've talked about kind of wingers and what we need to bring in. Where do we see Ken Semmer long term? Do we see him as a left winger? Do we see him as a left wing back? Do we see him as a left back? Or, as Greg has mentioned earlier on, do we just enjoy the utility of him in wherever he goes? In which case, does he ever become a first team choice? What are our thoughts on Ken and the left side issues after we've sent him back to Newcastle? Obviously, we all know of whom I speak.
We've expelled a couple. Was that what we're saying? Then we've got some empty rosters on the school checklist. Yeah. Jamal Lewis is expelled. Yeah.
He's expelled for smoking.
At no point did I look at him and go, smoking. No. he was
expelled for not smoking. Oh, that's better.
He was exactly as Carl described earlier on, just to use that wonderful phrase of goes forwards 30 but goes backwards 50. That's, yeah, no, he gone. What do we think of the left side? What do we think of, and where do we think, and how does he or does he fit in James Morris on the left? What do we think?
For me, Ken, if we're talking Ken, he's not a left back. So if we're playing a four, he's not there. Yeah. So he can play in that three. I think he's a utility player. You keep in the squad, and he's Mr. Reliable when you need him, when you've got an injury somewhere and you can bring him in. But I don't see him starting all the time, but you just know he's that player. You can bring him on for 30 minutes in a game when you just want to solid something up or just create something and do something a little bit different. But I just don't think he's the starter all the time from that one. And I like James Morris, but I think he's a backup again. So I think we've got a gap there for me. You know?
For what it's worth, and we'll like a bit of transfer gossip, but I've got it on pretty decent reliability that we're getting Jordan Zamora in as left back next year, coming over from Udinese. But we shall see, won't we? But that's what I was told.
Signed last season from Bournemouth. We all looked at that enviously. And if you remember at Parlacci, Gino, and I appreciate that Mr. Giretta, for many here, should stay in Cyprus and not come back and darken our shores again. I get that. But you make mention of a few players who were signed. with a view to, at some point within the organisation, they aren't going to be happy not playing top-level football in Italy. They'll want to play even if it is second tier. Because let's face it, in Udinese, they might be playing second tier Udinese anyway. So,
well, he's a very good player. He hasn't played for most of the year, but I'm told he's already signed. So we'll wait and see. He hasn't been announced yet, but fingers crossed, because he is a decent player. So that would be a good percentage of the left-back situation sorted out. Ken, I agree with a few who have already said it. I think we've seen the best of Ken. I think he's taken a couple of heavy injuries this season and he's taking longer to get back from them. And I only see him as a squad player off the bench now. I don't see a role for Ken moving forward in the way Tom's going to want to play. But I hope he comes again. He's a lovely guy. But as I say, nice guy isn't a job, as someone once said. But fingers crossed that Zamora comes in.
Excellent. Wendover, any views on young Zamora over at Bournemouth, now Udine?
He would be absolutely ideal for us. Very good player. And I was with you when Giarratta made that comment that they have to realise they're not going to play before we can get them. So maybe he was purchased for us with a view to purchased for Udinese with a view to him eventually landing at Vicarage Road. I'd also like Epicelli on the right side, who isn't playing at the moment. So if we could get the pair of them, my word, that would be lovely.
Anybody who's collapsed in the Florida area, that was
Epicelli. Yeah. If we could get the pair of those, my word, they would be a good pair of fullbacks/wingbacks for this division.
Interesting. Well, Epicelli's certainly had an awful lot of involvement this year. How much of that has actually seen game time? I'm not quite so sure.
Yeah, it's not starting at the moment, Pete.
No, well, so anybody, let's face it, I think if rumour be true, we may have just solved the left-back issue, everybody. Well done, Rich. If you could just add in more good news, that would be great. We've just signed Cristiano Ronaldo, says Rich. Well, he didn't. We're hoping he leads to that. That'll be good. So in terms of the centre of the park then, we've seen and we've heard some rumours. I think at times this season, we looked really happy and settled with a combination of Jake Livermore sitting at the base, doing what he does for long periods of games, but then not quite necessarily making it the 90 or not necessarily making it two 90s in a week, if that makes sense. We also then saw something different, I think, this year from KMB, from Edo KMB, playing as an eight in a slightly more advanced midfield role than he'd previously been considered as a number six. But as I say, Livermore was in playing in that. And then either Tom Delibashiru or Kone, neither of them really has quite won a space completely until most recently, Tom Delibashiru kind of sat in as seemingly Jake Livermore was sat out until, if rumour be true, both Hamer and Livermore were offered contracts but want to explore options, so hadn't signed. So were seemingly, they're on the bench, use them if you need them, but don't include them, which also falls in line with a return to the first team of Dan Backman. Also at the same time, the suggestion, if you take a look at the contract timing, Tom Delibashiru in a year's time will be a free agent. And therefore, the club are, by rumour, in negotiation with him. And he is wanting to, like all footballers at the moment, explore his options. And therefore, he has suddenly not been playing. So we suddenly see that kind of quite nice kind of amount and number of players. And also Chakvadadze could sometimes sit in that midfield as well. Suddenly it reduces, because if Tom Delibashiru is going, if Jake Livermore is going, for our thoughts in terms of what we really need to see from a midfield, especially if we turn to a 4-2-3-1, and actually what we need is maybe a passer and a defensive midfield player in there. What are our thoughts around what that would either need, or whatever formation you think we might need to play under Tom?
I'll quickly jump in. I think it's the most crucial part of our transfer situation in the summer, the midfield, because I can see that changing dramatically from this season. And again, not saying that I know the inside track on anything, but Livermore is certainly a player that is probably one of those that's not particularly in love with the game anymore, doesn't really need to be doing it anymore. And Tom, I think Tom is a great player, and I think there's a good player in there, but probably an attitude lets him down from time to time outside of the game. So I think that I think in terms of transfers, I know we've spoken about the wing backs and so forth, but I think the midfield is crucial for next season, and there has to be some investment in that midfield, because we've shown over the last couple of years there's no real consistent quality game after game, and you need that in the Championship. Look at Ipswich. Have we gone there again? Shit. Look at Ipswich this season. That midfield just breaks play up, just breaks patterns up. And we look so off the pace sometimes in games. And I saw briefly the middle game, and there's the whole beer gate going on in the background there as well. Anybody that's seen that? And you just saw that midfield just fucking wasps at a barbecue. They were just floating around doing nothing. And it's a shame. So for me, I think if we do cock up the transfer market in the midfield, we're going to be in for another long, hard season. I cannot stress how important it is to get some decent quality in that midfield next season.
I wholeheartedly agree with you, Carlos. There's a strong rumour that there's a deal done for a 20-year-old Colombian holding midfielder. Name escapes me. Peter might have it, but it's a strong rumour. I think we need a Livermore type. It is an experienced Championship in his mid to late 20s, Livermore-type player. I think Livermore's probably got every last ounce out of him. But my word, when he came in, did we look a different team? And yeah, if we could get an experienced pro in there in the central midfield, holding midfield player, a Barlisser type, that's what we need.
Can I just talk about Livermore just a second?
Far away.
Because he was the player I was going to grade. You asked for one. So, and I was going to grade. I just want to say, just at this point, because it's got very serious, but I was going to grade him as a safe B. But after his performance in the bar the other night, I'm upgrading him to an A double plus.
Well done.
He proved that all three of his legs are working, apparently. So, yes, those of his legs have gone.
Yes, he did.
And now we can move on, I guess.
And rumours that he can't have one after another is obviously clearly wrong, as well as lasting 90 minutes, which is a bonus.
Yeah, we don't have that authority the whole 90 minutes yet, but we're looking for confirmation. I'm sure it'll be in the Sunday paper soon.
I think going back to midfield, bringing it back to serious stuff, this disgraceful talk, poor Jack Livermore. But I think I mentioned it on Spaces the other day, and Tom did a Q&A, and somebody, he asked him the best bit of advice he'd been given. He said it was by one of the lads, I think, that's with him now. And they said, where do you see yourself in your team, and do you recognise your team? And that to me says he was a good midfield player, Tom, and he would know midfield players, and he would know what he would want around him or a player in his mould. So I think my hope is that in the midfield is where he should be strong and identifying, and I think this is where his contacts for maybe a decent lone player somewhere for the midfield. I don't think we'll be spending too big a money, but somebody that's on the verge of a good Premiership, youngish, mid-ish age, I think he'll find somebody, I hope, for that midfield, because I agree with Carl. It's absolutely crucial you get that right, because it's like the quarterback in American football. He's the person that controls the midfield, and it's got to be the right man, and they've got to get that right, and it won't be Livermore.
Very good. Very good.
You could have done with Jake Livermore at the bar at the Talk Sport function, Justin. You would have got a few more beers in, mate.
Yes. It's been one of those days, actually. I was supposed to finish by 2, and at 6 o'clock, I'm looking at my watch going, fucking hell, I'm still here. And Cundy just kept buying the beers. He bought everybody
Cundy
beers.
Now, is it?
Cundy. Yeah. Listen, he's such a tart, isn't he? God. Cundy.
It's my new mate. It's been a great day. I've had a really good day today. So, yeah, sorry.
Are we changing from Jason Cundy? You in?
Maybe. He's, at the end of it, he's going, can I come on your podcast? I'm going,
yes.
Why? How are we going to
see you? Absolutely.
We don't care.
Yes.
Everybody knows we have no standards. We'll go with Jason Cundy. So let's move to the defensive, the centre-back position. We have 4 centre-backs currently. We have Wesley Hoot. I may have mentioned his wife once or 17 times. I'm not sure. We have Ryan Porteous. We have young Matty Pollock. And of course, we also have Francisco Sierralta. What do we think about that? Is that what we want to retain? How do we think that they have performed as a back unit? And would we want to upgrade, or is it not a priority? Let's start with Colin, sir. Colin, have you any opinion upon our stoppers, our centre-backs?
Well, I think it's probably the only area that a lot of us, I'm fairly happy with them. I think they interchange okay. I think it's not the area that's a priority for me, that I would say anyway. I think that obviously we could do better, but no, it's not an area of priority for me anyway.
They'll be doing for the moment. Right, yeah. No, that's good. Anybody else? Are we kind of content? The rumours are that we will be seeing another Udinese centre-back coming in. He was linked to us again last year. Could have been another one that was in that conversation with Giralta. He's literally played one league game and for 1 minute for Udinese, and he might be coming across, but I think he may be the left-sided centre-back that had been mentioned at the last January for a cover for a left-sided centre-back, because everybody's worried in case Hoot go either leaves, because who knows, he's on a goodly wedge, so it might be a replacement for him, or it might be actually finally getting somebody coming in and covering. But is there any profile element that we're missing with these guys, or do we think that they have been a step up from a number of seasons where we'd seen a lack of investment in that role? Have we invested enough and we just need to invest elsewhere, or do people want something more?
Yeah, on the centre backs, I think it's worked in a three. I'm slightly worried if we do go to playing four at the back and you've got two in the centre, that we still need somebody who's absolutely dominant, like a Cooper from Millwall or something like that, who's just an absolute beast. Because I think they've been working and covering the gaps, but there's a bit of a lack of pace back there. So the three has been helping out. The amount of last-ditch tackles and desperation tackles we put in blocks, which is great because we've been putting our bodies on the line, but we got exposed a lot. And I felt like it was when we played Southampton. Now, we did progress and we did seem to get to grips with it again, but they were cutting through us like a knife. So I think if he wants to go to a four, Hoot's a good, he's doing well, but I think you want some kind of beast next to him or something as well. Something, and then you've got other flex. Between them all, it's been working as a three, but yeah, that's a bit of a contradiction. But I think it depends what you want to do. If you go to a four back, you want both centre backs to be on their game on their own, right? Because they're going to be having to marking two or three running past them or whatever anytime.
Yeah.
And I think it's very different.
Very good.
I think Hoot's going to be the centre of, if he stays, of course. And I know that's a big if because of his wages, but I think if Tom wants him as his captain, I think he will be the centre back, literally, of a three as captain. And I just think Hoot reads the game quite well, and he does seem to make quite a lot of last-ditch tackles. I haven't given up on Porteous yet either. I think under Ishmael it went, but we saw a bit of the early few games with Tom. He started to look better, back to his not playing this stupid way that Ishmael wanted him to play. Mm-hmm. Just tell him to be a centre-back and do what you paid to do, not suddenly try and be Beckenbauer or whatever he was being asking him to do. He looked up when he had to defend and just stay as a defender. He looked what Scotland saw and what we weren't seeing. So I haven't given up on him yet. But yeah, it centre-back's a really difficult one in the modern game, I just think, because it's just such a different game now because of the way the midfields and that are run. You just need someone to keep the centre-forward quiet, and we haven't got a lot of pace back there, so we just need to be cute enough that we can hold back, but get the last-ditch tackles in and get the ball away. I think we just need to no-nonsense defending.
Yeah, what we've had is an improvement on previous seasons. It's always been one of our many Achilles heels,
yep.
But it's just the lack of pace that worries me. And I worry that with the lack of pace, you're then forced to play three, which means you're then changing the whole formation because we can't play four at the back. We have to play three or five because you do need that pace. And Hoots, we mentioned it, when he plays that crossfield like quarterback pass, that's a dimension to the game that we don't have anywhere else. So I think Hoot from a defensive capability is critical, but also it gives us that alternative to play to. Now, that said, unless the ball's going out to a spree, we've got no one that's really going to take and carry, because I don't think Kone or Rojovic does that. But it just gives us another option. But for me, if you could get them all in the gym and give them another 5 mile an hour in the legs, then we're home and dry.
I like that. Well, Pete Ryan, who was on, but he was listening in as he was on it, but he sent over some of his thoughts, and it includes in this area. He says, I also fear, because one of the things I was asking for was, what do you think? What's going to knock? It's the hope that kills. What's the thing that's going to kill? And I'm just going to jump to that. We're going to come to that in a minute. He said, I also fear that Hoot will leave. I've seen too many matches where he shakes his head and looks mad as hell at the results and his teammates. He's a class above. He's worth the money. I think they'll sell him, and I think he'll also want to play a better standard football than I fear we will see next season. So who knows? I think we've ascertained so far that we need two new strikers. We need some new wingers. Maybe make sure we prioritise the midfield. Fullbacks, I think we're fairly okay with, other than obviously replacing the perennially injured Jeremy Ngakia. But that's some good news there. And we're all right with the centre-backs, but leave Wes Hoot alone. Obviously, that's me. There is one final position, of course, of which we must discuss.
Good luck, everyone.
Yes, hold tight. Room, isn't it?
Yes. Hold tight, everybody.
Might be my time to leave.
Yes. Everybody, it's the time to deal with the goalkeepers. It's time for Brace atop to the position, everyone. So what do we think? Hamer, as we've discussed, out of contract, supposedly got an offer, but the club are playing, they're going to be having to play prudently, I think. They can't just throw money at what might be a substitute goalkeeper, or may not, who do we think? But we've also obviously got Dan Backman, and we don't have a senior third keeper. Miles Roberts has been playing that particular role, which I don't see as a bad thing necessarily. What's everybody's thoughts? Do we need wholesale changes?
Yes. The sigh of relief that we all let out when Backman got dropped for Hamer was, oh, thank God. And then when Cleverley took over and brought Backman in, we were like, why is he doing that? And to be fair to Backman, he's been pretty solid since Cleverley came in. But if that's the best that Watford can do, goalkeeping-wise, those two, we're in trouble. We need a brand-new goalkeeper, experienced, that can take over from the number one spot immediately, in my opinion. I don't think either of them are good enough, and that's my opinion. I think, and I don't want to come over all Uncle Ron. He's the, you know...
Well, no, that's not an image anyone wants to conjure with, really, to be quite frank.
But this whole sort of, he's our worst goalkeeper ever, I don't hold with that. We've seen much worse than that. But for me, they're weak links in the team, and really, we need a wholesale change. So I will say wholesale change.
I'm going to jump in here. I'm going to split the room probably. I'm going to say keep Backman, but you need to add obviously something to the goalkeeping situation. I would go and do what, and I know he's going to be a popular buy this at the end of this season, but the lad from Rotherham, I'd go and get him.
He, Rotherham, rate him and said he's probably been their best player, actually.
Ex-Villa youth. He didn't do a lot there. All right, I know he's obviously conceded a lot of goals at Rotherham and confidence-wise, he's probably down, but I think there's a goalkeeper there. And for what they're asking, it's definitely worth it.
800 grand. He's got a caveat in his contract. It goes for 800 grand.
So
Carlos, mate, half of the championship money.
They are. That's the thing. They are, exactly. Yeah. There's going to be other teams with bigger budgets that are going to go and throw money at it, but he's a goalkeeper that stands out for me. But I would keep Backman because shot-stopping-wise, I think he is one of the best in the league. I know his distribution's shocking. He drives me mental, but I don't know of too many goalkeepers that are going to come in of real quality at this for what we're going to pay or what we're going to offer, unless it is a loaney like Tom could bring in from somewhere.
Yeah, Ben Foster.
We don't even need real quality. We just need competence.
Yeah, no, I get that. I do. He's a nightmare at times. He's got us out of shit at times as well.
But he does create problems and then saves them. I'll shut up.
Go to sleep, will you?
I kind of agree with Carl about keeping Backman, but I have a caveat.
I love a caveat.
Can we build a fucking wall that we turn around at half time? Because it's the only way they're going to keep clean sheets with Backman behind in the sticks. Seriously, mate, I'll go back to the comment you made at the beginning of last season about backing the crow to score and be like,
please do bring that up.
I still back the crow.
Fucking back the crow, but that'd be into a bus at doing 90 mile an hour. But no, there's no way that Backman should be considered first choice keeper. Because a goalkeeper will never win you a game, but it will always lose you a game.
So, I didn't say first choice.
I wouldn't have him as any choice. The only reference that he can be of value is how not to be a goalkeeper. He's a good shot stopper, but he's not a goalkeeper.
Yeah, agree with it. For me, with Backman, you can be at a club too long, and he's been at Watford too long. I think it's time for him to go. He is a good shot stopper, but that is it. Richard Lee was a good shot stopper, but didn't have a lot more to his game. I'm bringing in two keepers.
Great. He's got 4 years on his contract. He's still got 4 years on his contract.
Yeah, but he is marketable, Backman. He could be purchased by a team above us as a number two. That number two role is quite hard to find a player to fit. And I think he would
he's
be
number two, as a, sure.
I don't know, a mid-table, an Everton, somewhere like that.
Good enough for that.
The mental world we're in, he'll probably end up at fucking Man City's their third choice goalkeeper.
That's about his level.
In Champions League winners' medal at the end of this. That's how fucked up Football is.
Yep.
He might actually become Paris Saint-Germain's new goalkeeper, given the goal they just conceded. But yeah,
I know there were some links with Dan. Is it Dan Bentley that used to play for Brentford as well? I think there were some links there somewhere along the lines I heard the other day.
Nice.
Just on something, can I ask everybody a question? This link, but it's obviously a bit of a leading question. But over the last nine games with Tom, just Tom's nine games, who would have been your player of the season for Tom's games, or will be in contention for these last nine games?
He's
think he's been consistent in these last nine, since he's had a manager who's got in his ear, got him playing a different way, he's clearing the ball a lot better. I understand.
I've always liked John Parsley.
I also bat the crow though, Carlos, so I'm on top of the crow.
Johnny boy, that's the point.
Hang on, let's have one person talking. Wendover, off you go.
John, that's just the point. He is inconsistent. You can't have that in a keeper. You've got to have consistency. And he's either really good or really bad in the periods. He goes all over the place. No.
I think we're really harsh. I've watched so many other keepers. There are so many major keepers who cost a lot of money who make rickets. And it's
look at Man United. Look at Man United's spend on their keeper.
Good logic for a start, Carl, to use Man United as a reference point to anything.
Exactly. Of course it is. That's why I'm here.
And I might actually go in as manager of Man United, actually, to be fair. You can't do a worse job than that.
Please do remember the rules. If we're going to use anyone as a reference, it's always going to be Ipswich for some reason today, but never mind.
For some reason, yeah.
I'll give you an Ipswich reference.
Oh, go on then.
Reading Gil Martin, much maligned at Watford, is apparently an absolute first-class coach.
Yeah.
Well, when we spoke to Troy, and he referenced Renner Gilmartin and said about he reads the room better than anybody, and he was literally saying, look, when I'm in a foul one, Rene would basically sit with him and go, people would almost talk to Troy through Rene Gilmartin if he was ready, if he calmed down enough to talk to people. And he was like, because he knows, and that's a huge part of coaching, is knowing how, who, and when to talk to people. So no, fair play indeed. I think what's interesting is when we take a look at those nine games that you speak about, John, was up until then, we'd seen Backman be made captain. Now, we talked all about this until the captaincy got given to Wes Hoop, because it was an absolutely nonsensical move, because the only person who can talk to the referee in the championship this season officially is the captain. And we saw him racing out twice and picking up two yellow cards effectively for almost running past the referee on occasions. It didn't help him. That helped calm him down. Then we started under Valerian Ismail, a manager who has played direct football up to a tall man, and then we go and press high, decided we were going to play it out from the back, and that he was going to ask his goalkeeper of dubious distribution quality to basically go and play like your Maradona or your Xavi in primetime tiki-taka Barcelona, which I don't think helped him. It's interesting that he improved when Tom came in, and especially against Birmingham, and simplified everything. Absolutely simplified a lot. We started to go back a little bit to that kind of, right, you sit at the one edge of the six-yard box, I'll sit at the other, and then we'll pass between us to no apparent benefit. I think simplifying it helps Dan Backman as well. My thought on this is I do agree with Wendover. I think it is his time to possibly leave, and the reason is this. He has been at the club long enough to have a series of offences brought up every time he makes a mistake. He's not starting from ground zero anymore, and it's practically unfair on him, because every goalkeeper is going to make a cock up at some stage. But every time he does, everybody goes back to those previous kind of instances or offences or what have you, which is a shame. So I think if he can come through and he's got the kind of mental fortitude to be able to just handle that, then who knows? Maybe he might turn people around. This club has been a place where people have changed people's opinions. However, if he's going to have one or two or three calamities, they are always multiplied by his previous offences here, which is a difficult one. But there you go. We have gone from front to back on that 4-2-3-1. And we're pretty much aware that we need to sign people all over the place. Good luck, Gianluca Nani. I hope you last longer than you did at the academy at your place the other day in your position. But there we go.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. It's the 90th minute. All your mates around, you've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.